Matthew chapter 13, there are seven parables found in this chapter, and we have seen some of them in the past. The first four we looked at, and today I want to look at two more found in verse 44 and verse 45 and 6. These two parables here are found in Matthew 13. Again, verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure. Unto treasure that hid in the field, in which when a man hath found, he hideth for joy thereof, and goeth, he sells all that he has, and he buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man, a businessman who is seeking something. He's seeking goodly pearls, who, when he found the one pearl, the one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought that one precious pearl. We know the treasure here is Christ. We know the pearl here is Christ. Now, the Lord willing, we'll take a look at these two parables, the parable of the hidden treasure and then the parable of the pearl of great price. In these two parables, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our King, is giving to us by way of another earthly story. And that's what a parable is. It's an earthly story that tells us of a spiritual truth, a heavenly truth, by way of another earthly story showing us the great value of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And both those parables have that one lesson. We know that Christ is that one treasure that we must have. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is that one precious pearl. The Lord Jesus Christ, often it says here, the kingdom of heaven is like. We know the kingdom of heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot separate the gospel from the person or the person from the gospel. He is the gospel. We know that salvation is in His person. He that hath the Son hath life. We know that salvation is based upon His blood atonement. Salvation is based upon His priestly work for us. It's not based upon our work. It's not based upon our sacrifices. It's based upon His person, His work, His sacrifice, and His righteousness. Salvation is never said to be based upon our righteousness, because ours is just filthy rag. That's why Paul said, I count all my law keeping as dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. You see, the point is, the Apostle Paul, when he met the Lord Jesus Christ, he was brought into submission, bowed to the Lordship of Christ. And that's what happens when God confronts a sinner. He breaks him and puts him under His Lordship. This is a record, John writes, this is a record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is salvation. Salvation is of Him. Salvation is found in Him. And Christ in you is the hope of glory. He's done a work for us at Calvary. In regeneration, He does a work of grace in our heart, making us new creatures in Christ Jesus. We know that Christ is that one great treasure. He's the treasure of God's mercy, grace, and love to us. We know Christ is the only pearl, the pearl of great, great price. And that price was His blood. His blood. He bought a church with His own blood. Both these parables teach one plain lesson, and you already know what that lesson is, right? In salvation, Christ is all. He's not part salvation. He's all of our salvation. He's the whole of it. He's the whole of it. Now, let's look at verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure that's hid. It's hid in a field, which a man, when he found it, and for the joy thereof, he goes and sells everything he has and looks to that one treasure, enjoys that one treasure. Now, we cannot repeat this truth too many times. The Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of Christ are found to be a great treasure to you who believe. He's precious. A great treasure, a great wealth of all spiritual blessings we have in Christ. Listen to this scripture. Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 3. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. His richness is unsearchable. You see, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have not some spiritual blessings. We have all spiritual blessings found only in Him. Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 1. We bless God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. John writes this, of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. He's the treasure chest of all spiritual blessings. The Apostle Paul said, in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Him. We stand absolutely complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, we have a great, inexhaustible storehouse of mercy. You cannot exhaust His mercy. His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are eternal. We have a storehouse of mercy. We have a storehouse of grace. God giving us what we do not deserve. We have a storehouse of love, for He's loved us with an everlasting love. We have a storehouse of redemption. He's redeemed us from all our sin. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. These things will never be diminished. They're eternal riches. Eternal riches in Christ forevermore. Now, it says in the parable there that the treasure that we have, we know that treasure is Christ, this treasure is hid. It's hid in a field. Now, I believe this field here represents the Word of God. It's hid. The treasure of the gospel is hid in that book you hold right there. The treasure of the gospel is hid in this field in the Word. Now, this word hid means concealed. The field in which the treasure of the gospel hid is the Word of God, which contains all the rich promises of God. All the rich promises of God. You remember Peter called them exceeding great and precious promises? All the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, and to the glory of God by Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul says all the promises of God, all that He has promised, He's able to perform. David, when he writes Psalm 119, and almost every verse in that one particular Psalm, Psalm 119, it has like 200 verses, but almost every verse in that Psalm 119 has to do with the Word of God. And he says, I rejoice at Thy Word as one that finds a great treasure. His Word is full of blessed treasures, blessed promises of mercy, grace, and love. All the promises of God. How many of God's promises have failed? All the promises of God, all that He had promised, not one word has failed. Not one. His promises never fail because He cannot fail. Our Lord said to those Jews, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life, but there they would testify of Me. What's the Word of God about? Christ. And then He said, you will not come to Me that you might have life. The Lord Jesus, the risen Lord, met those two men on the road to Emmaus, and He drew nigh unto them, and they did not recognize Him until He revealed Himself unto them. But the Lord said to those two men, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the thing concerning Himself. The Word of God, Old Testament and New, is all about the Lord Jesus Christ, His person and His work. All Holy Scripture we know is given of God. It teaches one lesson. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is all salvation. He purchased all salvation with His blood. We sang a song sometimes Show me thy truth concealed, in thy book revealed. Show me thy truth revealed within thy word. And in the book revealed, I see the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this book reveals Christ unto us. No man naturally understands these things. They're hidden. They must be revealed unto us. You remember that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that shines in the face of Jesus Christ. I would have you turn back to Matthew 11, but you already know that scripture. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight. No man knoweth the Father but the Son. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. The gospel of Christ is hidden in the Word, and it's revealed by God the Holy Spirit. And when you can read this book and see Christ as all your hope of salvation, it's been revealed to you. When the gospel is revealed and made known unto us, we treasure it up in our heart. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. Look what it says in that parable again, verse 44. Which when a man hath found, he only found it because it's been revealed, he hides it for the joy thereof. Remember what we read in Philippians 3? We are the true Israel, which worship God in spirit, that rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have no confidence in the flesh. We joy in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have joy in our heart. The apostle writes this. Let me read it to you. Don't turn. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in Him. We rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Alone. We joy in Him. Now, I want you to turn and read this one with me. You were right over there in the book of Philippians, but just past the book of Philippians, one book is the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Colossians, chapter 2. I'm saying this treasure is Christ. It's hidden in the Word of God, and when it's revealed, we see the beauty and glory of Christ. Colossians, chapter 2, verse 1, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father of Christ. Look at verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. All hid in Christ. It's all hid in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we are made willing in the day of His power to lay down and quit and sell out all other false ideas and false hopes that are contrary to the gospel, and when that happens, we rest in Christ alone. That's why I read Philippians 3. I count everything else lost, dung, and ruin, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. This man in the parable here, who represents a believer who's had the gospel revealed to him, he has joy in his heart, and he sells out everything else. He sells out any other hope he has. And he puts all of his eggs in one basket. Christ. He sells all that he has. And what does he do? He buys that field. What is the price of salvation? It's free. The price is free because the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price for us. We are made willing to quit our false ideas, our false hopes, and everything that's contrary to the gospel, and we rest in Christ alone. Remember what we read in Philippians 3, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth unto the things which are before in Christ Jesus. All things. Believers are totally committed and sold out to the gospel of Christ. They say with Paul, I know whom I have believed, persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Against that day. We buy this field. We buy this treasure. Because this field and this treasure is Christ. How do we buy it? Listen to this scripture. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I thought of this scripture about buying. Isaiah 55, remember, ho, everyone that's thirsty, come eat to the waters. He that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. We sell out everything we have, and by the grace of God, we lay hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We studied this in Revelation chapter 3, remember? Verse 18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You remember over here in Matthew 13, verse 16, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That's the blessed man who has eyes to see the glory of Christ, ears to hear the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God reveals the gospel to us, we have joy in our heart. We hide that gospel in our heart. We lay hold of that gospel. We sell out on every false hope, and we lay hold on Christ and buy Him by faith. Look to Him by faith. Now, the second parable is likened to the last one, with some difference, verse 45. And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man. Now, a merchant man is a businessman. He's in business to buy and to sell, right? He's seeking goodly pearls. He must be a seller of precious stones, but he's looking for goodly pearls that he might buy, that he might resell. Who, when he had found this one pearl of great price, the one he's been looking for all his business career, he finds that one great pearl. What does he do? He sells everything he has, and he lays hold of that one precious pearl. And he knows in that one precious pearl is the great wealth of salvation in Christ. Now, no doubt the Lord Jesus Christ is exceeding great pearl of unlimited power and wealth. He is the pearl of all pearls. He is that one diamond, if you will, or the pearl, if you will, that one golden nugget, if you will. To you who believe, the Lord Jesus Christ is altogether lovely. To you who believe, He's altogether precious. He is that treasure hid in your heart. He is that pearl of great price. We know that Christ is a pearl. Christ is a treasure. And He is the one that the sinner must have. He's the only one that's been provided of God. God provided this treasure. God provided this pearl. God will only accept that which He has provided for us. We are accepted in the Beloved. Now we know this. There's no other Savior but Christ, is there? Is there any other Savior? There's no other Savior but the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Peter said to those Pharisees that day. Neither is there salvation in any other but the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The Lord said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. You don't come to God but by Christ. No man. No man. He's the only Savior. He's the only one pearl that we must have. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only Redeemer. How are we going to put away our sin? My sin's pretty hard to put away. Well, I'm just going to stop sinning today. What about yesterday? The day before that? What about tomorrow? You can't put away your sin. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. So there's no other Savior, there's no other Redeemer in whom we have redemption. He's obtained for us eternal redemption by His blood. There is no other mediator. You cannot come to God apart from Christ. God's too holy. We're too sinful. We must have a mediator. And that mediator is none other than Christ, the precious pearl. One God, one mediator between God and men. That is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other righteousness. You remember what we studied in the book of Matthew where it says, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you cannot enter in. How righteous must this sinner be to stand before God? Absolutely perfect. I must be as righteous as God. Well, preacher, how can that be? Only in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord, our righteousness. He is personally to me my righteousness. Blessed is that man to whom God would impute righteousness without works. I'm a sinful, wicked man in this flesh. In Christ, I'm holy as He is. That's the blessing of the gospel. He is my personal righteousness before God. When the believer stands before the Lord in that day in which all men will give an account, and then someone might ask you, by what right are you here? I'm not here on my right. I'm here on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's it. It's only by God's sovereign grace that any sinner has any idea about seeking goodly pearls in Christ Jesus that's revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who seek Him will find Him. We studied in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Once this pearl is found or discovered, revealed and made known in the Word of God, we sell out, just like that man who found that treasure in the field. We sell out everything and we lay hold. By faith now, we lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a good hope. It's a good hope we have in Christ. Like the treasure hid in the field that is found, and like the one pearl of grace that is found, the sinner then fully realizes to some extent the priceless value of the gospel of Christ. He willingly lets loose of all other ideas of salvation by works of the flesh, deeds of the law, and he looks to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Alone. You see, the hope we have in Christ is a good hope through grace. It's not hope in a hope. It's not our faith in faith. Our faith looks to Christ. Christ is our hope. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and He sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I want to give you, in closing, and I'm almost done, I want to give you, by way of closing, two examples of someone who sold everything out and rested in Christ, and someone who was just merely religious and walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Right here in the book of Matthew, turn to Matthew 19. Here's the first example. The young rich ruler kept his riches and walked away from the Lord. Matthew 19, look at verse 16. And behold, one came and said to him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And the Lord said, Why, what do you call me good? There's none good but one, that's God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, Which? And the Lord said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what the law demands, absolute perfection. And the young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth. What do I lack? Is that the same thing Saul of Tarsus said? According to the law, he said, I was blameless. And the Lord said to him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. You remember that man who found that treasure? He sold everything out and bought that field. The man who found that one pearl of great price, he sold out on everything he had and bought that one. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now this man's problem, and some people think this was Saul of Tarsus. This man's problem was not that he had riches. His problem was that his riches had him. He was trusting himself. And the Lord, the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. Then the Lord said, look at verse 23. Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is, those who trust riches. Again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed and said, well, who then can be saved? And the Lord said unto them, with men it is impossible. With God all things are possible. So there's an example of one who walked away, who refused to trust the Lord alone. And here's the other example. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We've been going through the book of Hebrews. I think this illustrates the story of the man who, when he found the treasure, sold out everything. And when he found the pearl, he sold out everything, laid hold of the treasure, laid hold of the pearl. You remember the story in Hebrews 11, verse 24. You remember the story of Moses? When he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You remember the story of Moses? I won't go back and bring you up to that, but he was a Hebrew, and he was raised up in the house of Pharaoh. Considered a son of Pharaoh. He was in line to the throne of Egypt. But look at verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He counted all things lost that he may win Christ and be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the scripture that Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians 8, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. We have all riches in Christ Jesus. He that findeth his life will lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 10:39. Do you see in the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified as the treasure of salvation? Do you see in the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood and his righteousness, the pearl of salvation, the pearl of forgiveness, the pearl of his love in the Lord Jesus? He said, I'm the way. No other way. The way. I'm the truth. You should know the truth. The truth will set you free. He said, I'm the life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life, and shall not come in condemnation, but is passed from death unto life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I listened to a message this morning, early this morning, by Brother Mahan, and he made this statement. It's no miracle to make a sinful man religious. That's not a miracle, is it? That's not a miracle. You can make a religious man to reform. That's not a miracle. But it's a miracle of God to make a man righteous in Christ. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And as I was thinking about that point, about the miracle of the new birth. Our Lord said, except a man born again, he cannot see, cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then I thought of a chorus to a song. And I looked it up. I looked it up on my phone. Do you believe that? I asked my phone about this song. It took a miracle. And I just surely they don't know that. I asked my phone and it came up. I couldn't believe it. But the chorus of that song goes, it took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when He saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Love and grace. He's that treasure. He's that pearl. I pray He is that to you.